All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. The UHC case is getting very, very murky. We're going to deep dive into it in just a minute. Let me say to everybody in the chat, Debnew 2011 is on, Confederate One is on, Leon Fish Puppy's on, DC 941 is on, the Great 8 T1AU is on, Laura Jean Lynn is on, Tammy L. Margaret is on, Buckeye Nut 1968 is on, Mobetta 01 is on, Mike Griffith's on, Dave Satters is on, Neanderthal Soup is on, Drummer for Jesus is on, Snarl Barkley's on, Aaron Yeager's on, Jim Kohler's on, Veronica 18201 is on, Sheila K is on, Wilbur's Bud 1 is on, Kep Guy 1 is on, Judy Anita is on, John Phillips is on, Sexy Pony is on, Stefan Toms is on, K4VMS is on, Spaz64 is on, Richard Perry 49 is on, Big Jim Go Blue is on, USA Abbey Girl is on, Ray Chill Mad Cow is on, Lizzie 859 is on, Sunwoo 45 is on. What is that? Can't read it. All right, Joel's 21 Hours is on. Why Not Me is on. It's Sua 99 is on. Confederate One is on. Let me see if I missed anybody. Conservative Waffles on. Charles 340 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Drumming for Jesus, like I said you already, but I'll say it again, is on. Let me see. Braden McGroin, McGroin Nation, is on. Volvo 960 is on. Black Bar 201 is on. Uncle Wally's on. Grittadum is on. Swethy and Awethy are on. Naz Yeager's on. Kep Guy One is on. Wife of Drummond. Hey, Wife of Drummond for Jesus is on right now. I don't even know. Radcliffe 1965. SCWA Radcliffe 1965 is on. I see all the time. I'm not sure I pronounced your name right. But anyway. All right, let's do a couple things. Let's do some headlines before we get to United Healthcare. Just the headlines from the day. Of course, Daniel Penny did his first interview, did on Fox News with Judge Jeanine. So again, if you're here during the pregame, played this during the pregame. But just let's look at his perspective post jury verdict. Play for me.
The guilt I would have felt if someone did get hurt, if he did do what he was threatening to do, would never be able to live with myself. And I'll take a million court appearances and people calling me names and people hating me just to keep one of those people from getting hurt or killed.
So there you go. And of course, I mean, I'm not going to go into this because I did. I don't know how long on it last night. I ended up going like 30 or 40 minutes talking about something that I was supposed to take like 5 minutes to talk about. But anyway, the case never should have happened. He did exactly what anybody should be doing. And now everybody's scared to death to do, because if you actually defend people, you know, whether it's women, children, or other people that aren't going to defend themselves, and you step up and actually defend people, people are scared to death to do it because they'll end up being prosecuted by people like Alvin Bragg, which is, again, it's Alvin Bragg. It's the same scumbags over and over and over again. Alvin Bragg with his ridiculous 34 count conviction of Donald Trump. Absolutely ridiculous. And it's all being thrown out anyway, but here comes Alvin Bragg again. Alvin Bragg with the bodega owner who stopped the robbery of his own shop by stabbing a guy who was armed with a gun. And the guy, the bodega owner who stopped the guy who was committing the robbery by stabbing him, he had a knife. The robber had a gun, and he defends himself and his shop by stabbing the guy and stopping the robbery. Alvin Bragg tries to prosecute the bodega owner only because of public pressure. Then he dropped the charges. The same guy over and over again. Same scumbag over and over and over again. So speaking of scumbags, I mean, therefore I am video. Now here are the people out, and notice how small the protest is. Because they're not going to be able to gin up a protest here. It's not going to happen. They're not going to be able to get nationwide. They're trying to do it. They're trying to gin up nationwide BLM riots, even calling for them. I could play these videos. I could play them, that hawk guy and all that. I could play them, but why bother? They're trying to gin up violence around the nation again, threatening violence. But it's just not going to happen because everybody knows, again, like I said last night, for all intents and purposes, the people who make up BLM are the ones who exonerated Daniel Penny, because it was a Manhattan jury made up of every demographic, every sex, every race, every gender was part of the jury. So, he's already been exonerated. I'm shocked that he was, absolutely shocked, because most of the time what people consider is, you know, you should never find somebody guilty because you're afraid of the consequences of finding them innocent. You should never find somebody who is actually innocent guilty because you're afraid of the consequences of deeming him to be innocent, like riots. The reason why Derek Chauvin went down was because they were scared to death of the riots that were going to occur if their verdict was that he was innocent, if they found him innocent. So they found him guilty, put him in prison for 22 years over a killing that he didn't commit, which, again, I could spend 30 minutes on George Floyd and Derek Chauvin. Easily anybody could, because we all know that Derek Chauvin did not kill George Floyd. George Floyd killed himself using fentanyl because he had three times the lethal amount of fentanyl in his bloodstream at the time of death, and his lungs had a 95% oxygenation rate, which means he wasn't asphyxiated. So how in the world did Derek Chauvin kill him if he had a 97% asphyxiation rate, 95% oxygenation rate? He couldn't have asphyxiated the man who has an oxygenation rate of 95%. That's basically what you have right now. Somewhere between 95 and 98% right now, you have that if you're healthy. So how in the world can you strangle somebody to death without strangling them to death? But yet he's still, and again, this is such basic logic. The reason why he's in prison is because they were scared of the consequences of not putting him in prison. You don't convict people based on the consequences of not convicting them. You don't convict people based on the seriousness of the allegation. You convict them based on the evidence against them. That's it. That's it. With Daniel Penny, there was no crime at all. With Derek Chauvin, there was no crime. He could have been sued. I would have handled that arrest much differently. I was a cop myself for 25 years. I would have handled that arrest very differently than they did. When the guy says you can't breathe and he got like nine cops there, spin him up on his butt and let him sit up against the car. I mean, that's what any cop would do, but they didn't handle it smartly because you're stupid, you don't go to prison either. So, and again, you're like, well, you know, with Derek Chauvin, George Floyd, you're saying, Tom, that they should have had him come up and breathe. And he was going to die anyway, though, just so you know, he died of fentanyl poisoning. Even if they set him up and let him breathe. If you watch the entire arrest video, before Chauvin was even on scene, George Floyd was saying he couldn't breathe. He was already saying it. He was outside of the police car, standing up, saying he couldn't breathe. You gotta watch the whole thing, but nobody does. Because they're scared of the consequences of exonerating the man. So they put him in prison. Because they're scared of the riots. They're afraid of the repercussions of deeming somebody innocent, finding them innocent. But Daniel Penny, shockingly, in downtown Manhattan, with basically a BLM, Democratic Party jury, somehow Daniel Penny was exonerated. It's amazing that that actually happened. But here are the people, I mean, therefore, I am video. Here are the people that are actually out there protesting the verdict in the Daniel Penny case. And it's mask holes, communists, this is written from my meme, therefore I am, and race baiters marching downtown Manhattan to protest Jordan Neely. And again, here we have all these people. Notice what they have in common. Okay, it is now December, was there, 10th, 11th?
Yes, 10th.
10th,
yep.
10th 2024. So we are now close to, it's 2020, 24. Yeah, so 4 years, 15 days flat on the curve. And you have people wearing masks outside in Manhattan. And then they have they're waving the Palestinian flag. This right here is the synopsis of the Democratic Party, which is why Donald Trump got 76 million votes. They're wanting a man, so they're wearing those Palestinian scarves. Aaron says, gives, I don't know.
Kefia
scarves. Notice how many there are. How many people are wearing masks? How many Palestinian flags that you see in this video? This is basically the embodiment of the 2024 Democratic Party. This is it, which is why they lost in a landslide election, because this is their party, and they want somebody put in prison for the rest of his life. Because an insane black man on the subway, and you have to put up, because they're calling it racist, so I'll bring up race. An insane black man with Aaron pulled it up last night, with an arrest record of over 40 arrests, was threatening to kill people. Said someone's going to die today. Daniel Penny got up, put him in a rear naked choke, and the guy died of something else other than a real rear naked choke. And by the way, not long before that, a black man did the same thing to a white crazy person. Aaron, did you go crazy over that? Do you think it was racism?
No.
I didn't either. No. It's kind of weird. I mean, I never thought it was racism. The guy, this is a crazy white man who was subdued and accidentally killed by a black man because the white man was absolutely crazy. That guy wasn't charged with anything. You know why he wasn't charged with anything? Because he didn't commit a crime. Just because it's a serious event doesn't mean, again, like I said, you don't find somebody guilty because of the seriousness of the allegation. You don't charge somebody with a crime because of the seriousness of the event. Just because somebody died doesn't mean there's a crime that was committed. Doesn't mean there was a crime committed at all. If someone breaks into your home and you shoot that person to death, you didn't commit a crime. It's a serious event, needs to be investigated, bring out the forensics team. But that doesn't mean that somebody, because it's a serious event, that somebody has to be charged with a crime. So anyway, I meme there for IM video. Here are the people that are supporting or not supporting or completely, totally against Daniel Penny's exoneration. Play for me. So they have like 71 people there in this massive rally in downtown Manhattan for Jordan Neely. And again, nobody gave two craps about Jordan Neely while he was alive, but not just like his dad didn't care. Now his dad's threatening to sue Daniel Penny. I'm sure he's going to get Al Sharpton behind him. Al Sharpton, who owes like $14 million in back taxes. Nobody touches him either. It's kind of weird how that works, isn't it? So they're all out there protesting for Jordan Neely, and I'm borrowing from Bongino right now. You know how you don't get dead? Bongino says the first priority of every human being is to not get dead. I would say the first priority is to make sure you're going to heaven. But anyway, but borrowing from Bongino, you know how you don't get dead? Don't go on a subway and start threatening to kill people. You know, don't be arrested 40 times. Don't be a public menace. I guarantee you, everybody on that train had seen him before. Guarantee it, because people do the same, have the same routines over and over again, riding the same trains back and forth. They'd seen him before. He's a menace. You know, you're out there, you're protesting for this guy. This guy caused his own demise. I tell people this in church all the time. I tell them all the time, you never know who you're messing with. You have no idea. It doesn't matter how big and strong you are. My son's an MMA fighter. Doesn't matter if you're an MMA fighter. You never know who you're dealing with. You have no idea. So you ought to try to not get involved in physical altercations unless you're defending yourself. That's it. I'm kind of a hypocrite on that a little bit, but I'm just saying. I mean, I try to live by that. I almost get in a fight every year, but the thing is, and I had 2024 going until the last couple of months, but anyway, I'll leave that story for another day. But anyway, come to church on Sunday or watch church, and it'll probably pop up in a message. But anyway, it actually already has, because I had a long streak out all of 2024, and I hadn't nearly gotten in a fist fight yet until I got to Jacksonville. But anyway, so if you don't want trouble, be very careful about who you're dealing with. And like Jordan Neely had probably been physically, mentally abusing people for years, been threatening people for years, and nobody did anything because they're either afraid of him or afraid of the consequences of defending themselves. Well, Daniel Penny wasn't. And he said, I couldn't have lived with myself if I had not acted and somebody got hurt. He couldn't have lived with himself. All right, switch the subject. Let's go to Syria real quick. Which armed group? Remember I told you this yesterday? Look at the Los Angeles Times. I'm not taking credit for it. I got it from Alex Jones and General Flynn. But I'm just telling you, now it's coming out in the mainstream media. Which armed group won the war in Syria? Because we have a new regime. A guy that was on the terrorist most wanted list is now the Joe Biden-endorsed prime minister of Syria. Weird, isn't it? They get rid of Assad, and they bring in a guy who was on the terrorist most wanted list. The one backed, so which armed group won the war in Syria? The one backed by the CIA, or notice that two-letter word, or the one backed by the Pentagon? Tom, both of those are part of the government of the United States of America. Yeah, those are entities of the United States of America backing different groups that fight each other. This is the real world now. You listen to the idiots like Pierce Morgan. How in the world? Are you for Putin or are you for Zelensky? That choice is not a simple choice. You know what the choice is in that situation? Neither. They're both authoritarian dictators? No, thank you. I don't choose either one. Just like in Iraq versus Iran. Notice how we never got part. We never engaged in that war. We never took part in that war. Why? Because who are you going to choose? Saddam Hussein, the mullahs of the Ayatollahs, and the mullahs in Iran. You don't choose either one. Same thing in Russia and Ukraine. Slavic conflict that's been going on for the Donbass region for 1,000 years. You don't get involved with it when you're a citizen of the United States of America. But here we are in Syria, by the way, it's the same thing. Syria was created post-World War II. And it's been nothing but a war zone ever since. And again, what this is all about is stirring up endless wars. Very simplistic viewpoint. It's not a simplistic viewpoint, but it's a simple explanation for a larger, more globalist viewpoint. But if you want to feed, it's just like if you want to feed the NIH, the CDC, or the medical industrial complex, then you've got to have what? Endless disease and pandemics. If you want to feed the military industrial complex, then you have to have wars. Who receives the money from the military industrial complex? The globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist, i.e. the Democratic Party, WEF, Beijing, London. They get that money because basically every giant NATO-approved military contractor is owned by Vanguard and BlackRock. And the CIA and the Pentagon does nothing more than make sure that money goes into the coffers of the military industrial complex. Because if you want a job in the Pentagon, you want an ever increasing workforce, and you want to be in charge of more and more things and more committees in the Pentagon, and you want more and more positions for people to be promoted to, then you got to have more wars. And Aaron, see if you can find this. It should be somewhat easy. It was out there, and we've actually used it a couple times on the podcast. The number of generals in World War II versus the number of generals that we have now. See if you can find that. It's on Twitter, I guarantee it. But I'll tell you, most of you, if you know it, throw it in the chat, then Aaron doesn't have to work. I try to save Aaron some work. But anyway, so the one backed by the CIA or the one backed by the Pentagon, or was it the group backed by Saudi Arabia, or was it just ISIS? I'm so confused. Los Angeles Times, which is no bastion of right-wing conservatism, in Syria, militias armed by the Pentagon fight. This is from the Los Angeles Times. Which hates us in Syria, but backs our viewpoint because they have to, because there's no other way. It's the truth. In Syria, militias armed by the Pentagon fight those armed by the CIA. Here we are, a country that's burgeoning on $37 trillion in debt. We're actually fighting each other. CIA's backing one group, and General Flynn said this exact same thing on Alex Jones. CIA's backing one group, the Pentagon's backing the other, and we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars per year, per every 5 years, per decade, whatever the dollar amount is, maybe trillions, in a war that we're actually fighting against one another with no definitive degree of victory. It's even hard to even say it. It's hard to really verbalize it because none of it makes any sense. There's no definitive outcome. There's no definitive definition of victory. It's just continual fighting. Listen, it's not. This doesn't happen for no reason. It happens for nefarious purposes. It happens for evil purposes. And what the sad thing is, the true heroes that go and fight in these wars are people who don't know that's what's going on. Should there ever have been a war in Afghanistan? No. Should there ever have been a war in Iraq for weapons of mass destruction? No. But we lost thousands and thousands of our military personnel in those wars so that BlackRock, Vanguard could get financed, could get billions, even trillions of dollars into their coffers, and so that they then can make campaign contributions globally to the people who will perpetuate the wars. And you see how it's an endless symbiote, an endless circle bleep. So they continue, the CIA, the Pentagon has wars, continues wars, and they're not the only ones. It's around the world. It's the UN doing it also. NATO's doing it also. Because all of what this does is cause the wars. And then all that money, our money, whether it's because we fund 80% of NATO. Why is that? Why is that we fund 80% of NATO? Listen to this. There were in World War II, there were 7 4-star generals in World War II. There are currently 653 generals now serving. And by the way, Aaron, kind of leave that up for just a second. At that time, and again, if you want to have an ever-expanding Pentagon workforce, and I'm not talking about real soldiers, I'm talking about a bunch of effeminate men who have never fought in a war, can't do 20 push-ups or sit-ups, that are now generals. If you want an ever-expanding Pentagon workforce, then you have to have an ever-expanding purpose. Global wars all the time. Why do we have bases where basically the only purpose for having the base in that area is so it can be perpetually struck by terrorist organizations so that we order more weapons to defend ourselves against attacks that we never should be involved in because there never should be a base there to begin with because the base is purposeless. But if you want to go, I mean, listen to this. World War II, we had 12 million soldiers. Army, Air Force, the Marines were part of the Navy at the time, but Army, Air Force, Marines. What am I leaving out? Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines. So the four branches. Who am I leaving out? Army, Air Force, Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
Thank you.
And now Space Force.
Yeah, now Space Force. Too, yeah. But anyway, but back then,
yeah,
we had 12 million soldiers. 12 million soldiers. Now we have 1.4 million. When we have 12 million soldiers, we had seven four-star generals. Seven. Now that we have 1.4 million soldiers, we have 653 generals. This is a synopsis of global politics. What a joke. And if you want to have 653 generals over 1.4 million soldiers, then you've got that perpetual conflict. So you can pay these guys $200,000 a year, whatever they make as a general. That's the purpose of it. So how it always works with the symbiote is you have perpetual wars started by whatever country. Those wars then have to be funded. All of those funds go to BlackRock and Vanguard, which then they fund the people that start the wars. See? So you have the wars. They have to be funded. Who funds them? BlackRock and Vanguard through Lockheed Martin, through Honeywell, because the majority owners in the military industrial complex, the people that are building the weapons and the planes that are building those things, are owned by BlackRock and Vanguard. So you have the wars, you have to buy the weapons, you have to build the planes, you have to build the tanks. That all goes to BlackRock and Vanguard. Then BlackRock and Vanguard funnels the money back to the people who perpetually start the wars, back to the politicians, which are now globalist leftist bourgeois elitists. And it's a total joke when you hear things like alt-right, like they called the guy, they just annulled the election in Romania. They called that guy, can't remember his name now, but anyway, it's a Romanian name, but it'll be up in a second because Aaron just put it in Aaron's head, so it's going to pop up in a second. But anyway, they just annulled that election, and one of the reasons, they didn't say this, they annulled it because they said it was Russian interference. Russian interference now means two TikTok videos. May have been more than two, but I'm just saying that's all that was. All there was TikTok videos in support of the person who won the election. Allegedly, and that's allegedly if it came actually from Russia. But they annul that election. They call him alt-right. They call Hitler alt-right. How is Hitler alt-right? How is he conservative in any way, shape, or form? Yeah, Kalin Georgescu. That's the guy. That's the guy who just won the election to be president of Ukraine, of Romania, and the Supreme Court somehow, I don't know how their laws work, annulled the election. I don't know how that works. They're saying there might be another election in a year or something. So now the globalists got a full year in control of Romania. It's the same sort of stunt they pulled. It's not the same kind of stunt, but they did basically had a fraudulent election in Brazil. Lula versus Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro won the election. Everybody knows he won the election, but they've installed Lula. What did Hitler? How in any way, shape, or form was Hitler right-wing at all? You know, notice how everything becomes inverted. If you're not a racist, then you're a racist. If you say something like, color doesn't matter to me, now you're a racist. But the people to whom color matters are not the racist. Everything's inverted. Now, if you have nothing in common with Hitler, you're alt-right and are called a Nazi. I mean, who is it that bans speech? Who is it that confiscates guns? Who does medical experimentation on everybody, let alone the youth? That would be the Democratic Party of the globalist left. You and I have nothing to do with that. Who is it that actually, through gain-of-function research, creates viruses and actually uses them as bioweapons? That would be the globalist left. We have nothing in common with Adolf Hitler. Like Tommy talk about that all the time. I know, because it's actually kind of funny how inverted the world is And they call us Nazis all the time. When it's funny because the Nazis are calling you Nazi, which is part of their playbook also. It's part of the Communist Manifesto, is to actually call people Nazis. It's actually part of their strategy. All right, let's go to the next one. Victoria video. It appears that Pete Hicks says, this is all random headlines right now. It appears that Pete Hicks says accuser is in a bit of trouble. Play for me.
There's no way this woman did not approve the memo to the Trump transit, which is a breach of the non-disclosure, right? If this is actually how it went down. An interesting turn last night where his lawyer, Tim Parlatore, went on CNN and suggested that she already is released. She already is released from the non-disclosure and she can tell her story. So I reached out to Tim Parlatore myself today, and here is what he said. This is on the record. As the settlement agreement has been breached, meaning by this memo to Trump transition team, she is not entitled to any further payment and is at a minimum liable for the return of the payment made, plus liquidated damages. If she chooses to publicly repeat her false claims, there will be an additional cause of action for defamation, as well as for the underlying civil extortion.
Now, listen, I know this is redundant for those of you that watch this podcast all the time, but this is what has to happen. Pete Hegseth has to go after her. You're like, no, if you do that, then it stays in the headlines. Okay, if he doesn't, then they're going to pull the same crap on the next nominee and the next Supreme Court nominee and the next Trump staffer. It's always some sort of sexual innuendo, always some sort of sexual accusation, whether it's Christine Blasey Ford with no date, no location, no time, no witnesses. Same thing with E. Jean Carroll. Same thing with Matt Gaetz's accuser. No dates, no times, no witnesses, no DNA. Nothing, no corroborating evidence whatsoever, but a sexual accusation. So they can label you as somebody who's under a sexual assault allegation or a sexual assault investigation. The investigation and the prosecution is the punishment. So Pete Hegseth has to go after this woman. I don't want to be negative, but I'm going to say I doubt that he will. Because Kavanaugh didn't go after Christine Blasey Ford. Thomas didn't go after Anita Hill. The good thing is Matt Gaetz, former FBI employee, what a shock. He's in prison for the one who tried the extortion scheme against Matt Gaetz. He's in prison for 11 years for extortion. But other than that, that's why Matt Gaetz needed to be AG. Because Matt Gaetz is a bulldog. I hope Pete Hegseth is a bulldog and doesn't go down the Democratic Party road, which what they always plan on is we're going to make all of these accusations and do as much damage as we can and then fade into the night because the Republicans never go after us. He needs to go after her. Sue her for defamation. She needs to back pay that NDA, non-disclosure agreement. She needs to back pay the money that she's got because she didn't abide by the NDA. So she needs to give back all the money that she received via the NDA. Period. And if she doesn't get it, he needs to sue her. He needs to sue her for defamation. If he doesn't, then basically what you're doing is perpetuating abuse. Somebody needs to stand up. I can flat out tell you, with me, I'm especially kind of vindictive anyway. I got to watch that carnal side of my nature. But if somebody did this to me, and they're bold-faced lies, because it is bold-faced lies, because there's numerous, talk about, there are witnesses to this alleged event. Hotel cameras everywhere, people in the bar everywhere. Pete Hegseth obviously did not ever rape this woman. Everybody knows that. But he signed an NDA to get it passed. And if she listened, so he shouldn't have done that. But he did it. It was over. She's not allowed to talk about it. But now she's violated the NDA. So she needs to pay the price for it. Pay back all the money. He needs to sue her for defamation. Spend 3 hours on that too. Let's go to the next one. Eric Doherty video. Just in. Hey, everybody. Just want to tell you, congratulations. Spend another $50 billion to Ukraine. $50 billion. Country $37 trillion in debt. We will be shortly. Before Biden leaves office, $36 trillion in debt right now. Before Biden leaves office, we'll be $37 trillion in debt because we add $1 trillion every 100 days. It's actually shrinking down to every 90 days now. Eric Doherty video just in. White House announces $50 billion loan. Anybody want to make bets on how quickly that loan is paid back or if it's ever required to be paid back at all? Should we make bets about that? We all know that's not. You want to bet on the side of it never being paid back. Just like all the loans that Joe Biden got. Oh, I'm sorry. The various 23 Biden show companies that they got loans from China that they never had to pay back. Remember those two? These $3-4 million loans they never had to pay back. So Eric Doherty video, just in, White House announces $50 billion loan to Ukraine. Play for me, Creighton.
The United States and G7 are now making good on that commitment. Together, we will leverage income earned from frozen Russian sovereign assets to provide a total of $50 billion of extraordinary revenue acceleration ERA loans to Ukraine. This will lend vital support to the people of Ukraine as they defend their country, and it also makes clear aggressors and tyrants will be responsible for the damage they cause.
Now, if you watch this podcast, you've already seen where this $50 billion is coming from. This $50 billion is coming from seized Russian assets. In other words, wherever Russia had assets parked in dollars, we seized their money. It's their money. Like, well, they're Russia. It doesn't matter, folks. Russia's the invader. Are you sure? Do you really understand Luhansk and Donetsk? If you think that, or you just Pierce Morgan? And you have this very surface level understanding of anything, which isn't even an understanding at all. You have to understand that Donbass region, the breakout provinces, Luhansk and Donetsk, are asking for Putin to come in. Just like, lo and behold, he did with Crimea, and he waited until there's a weak president to do it. Of course. It's all a giant facade. Volodymyr Zelensky's getting just absolutely hugely rich over this whole thing, buying mansions, oceanfront properties. But this $50 billion is Russian money, illegally seized. Which is very similar to what they did to Trump in the whole civil real estate fraud trial in New York, where you're like, well, he misassessed property. So that makes it so the whole thing's illegal. He didn't misassess anything, by the way. And it'd be like you sold your house for $250,000, but you had it for sale for $260,000, and now that becomes a civil fraud offense. No, absolutely not. But what that does is destroy the market. When you make ridiculous claims and ridiculous allegations and file ridiculous civil lawsuits like Letitia James did, you destroy the market. Do you wonder why there's a BRICS movement? Breaking away from the dollar, where we've had a reduced credit rating for the first time in United States history under the Biden administration, another Biden first they can put in the Biden presidential library. Why we've been downgraded in credit? Because now we'll seize your assets. When people park their assets in dollars, the United States government can just arbitrarily seize your money. You think that's going to uphold the dollar? Is that going to embolden the dollar or denigrate the dollar? You wonder why there's a BRICS movement? This is why. You're like, but you have to take sides. No, you don't. You don't have to take sides. This is a Slavic conflict that's been going on for over 1,000 years. 1,000 years. And we don't have the money for this anyway. This is all printed monopoly money. Do you have that, Aaron, or you just flash it? Aaron's trying to get some debt stuff for me. If you get it, let me know. All right, let's go to the next thing. Chief Nerd tweet. Just in the nick of time. Amazing. This is from today. yesterday. My days blur into another because I go to bed like the day that I get up.
Same.
So like the day is kind of together because I go to bed like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. So the day when I rise, I'm getting up the same day that I went to bed. Most people, normal people, don't do that. So anyway, I don't know if this is from today or yesterday. But anyway, just in the nick of time, hundreds of deadly virus samples have vanished from an Australian lab, the biggest COVID caving country on the planet. Australian, 96% vaccinated. Australian lab in major breach of biosecurity. Yesterday, Health Minister Tim Nicholls has announced that in some way, shape, or form, 300, not two, not three, 323 vials of live viruses are now unaccounted for. How does that happen? Don't you have to like have a security clearance to get into these? How does this even happen? How do you walk out with them? These include nearly 100 vials of Hendra virus, 2 vials of Hantavirus, 223 vials of Lysavirus, all of which are extremely deadly for humans. Go to the next one for me, Creighton, Daily Mail. Hundreds of vials of deadly viruses have gone missing from a laboratory, and scientists warn they could be even weaponized. I want to see both sides of not only the deadly, they could be weaponized. I think they all have like somewhere in the neighborhood of 15% death rate, something like that. COVID had a 0.01% death rate. Need to just make sure you bind them loose. Matthew 16:19 would be perfectly fine. Just in time, right? just in time, another lab leak right before Trump takes office. 323, how does 300? Again, it's like two or three. I know, like, Tom, you get fixated on this. I know I get fixated. I can't help it. Like, two or three vials? I mean, I don't, that is inexcusable, but 323 vials of virus is gone out of this COVID-caving country's lab. All right, let's go to the next one. This is just a funny thing. Donald J. Trump, Truth Post. It was a pleasure to have dinner. This, you can see the date on that one. To have dinner the other night with Governor Justin Trudeau. Governor. this is real, by the way. And politicians are starting to react in a negative way in Canada over it. It's kind of funny. Trump's doing it on purpose. These people are crazy. You just have to watch these instigators. Trump's one of them. You know, God's kind of like that, too. He sets the table before you in the presence of your enemies. Lets you sit there and eat while they suffer. It was a pleasure to have dinner the other night with Governor Justin Trudeau of the great state of Canada. I look forward to seeing the governor again soon so that we can continue our in-depth talks on tariffs and trade, the results of which will be truly spectacular for all DJT. Hysterical. Because he was saying, of course, everybody knows, he was saying to Justin Trudeau, you know, if our little couple billion dollars worth of tariffs destroys your country, then maybe we ought to just make you the 51st state. All right, let's go to the next one. Creighton. Paul Sperry tweet. Here we go. It's brand new. December 10th, 12:31 this afternoon. Breaking. Disgraced ex-FBI director. This is why we got to have Cash Patel. Guess who knows more about the Russian collusion hoax than anybody on the planet, outside of maybe Dan Bongino with his sources? That would be Cash Patel. He's the one who actually exposed the Russian collusion hoax. Breaking. And they all know they can't hide. They cannot hide. Disgraced ex-FBI director Andrew McCabe ordered Apple and Google. Get this, Aaron. Ordered Apple and Google to turn over their text phone records for 20 Republican staffers. Was there a warrant involved with that? Was there a warrant involved in that? Was there a FISA warrant? Was there just a normal judiciary warrant? Anything at all? Normal court warrant? No, I don't know. Including Cash himself. Talk about, I wonder why it is that Andrew McCabe, who was fired from the FBI for lying under oath and leaking to the media, and is now a contributor at CNN or MSNBC, can't remember which. Wonder why it is that his latest public statement about Cash Patel is that he is basically galactically unqualified, galactically is my own term, but he used some other term, to be FBI director. Why? Because he doesn't lie under oath and leak the information to the media? Is that what makes, because you are obviously, and by the way, credit Bongino, from Bongino's sources, Andrew McCabe was known in the FBI simply as a pencil pusher. Never actually created cases himself, was never a door kicker, was never out there making arrests. He just basically organized meetings. Let's have another conference call, guys. That's Andrew McCabe. Another effeminate man, just like Comey. Just like Christopher Wray, another effeminate man. Including Cash Patel, involved in investigating FBI's Russiagate scandal and its abuses of FISA spy warrants targeting Trump aide. New DOJ IG report reveals. Why are these IG reports coming out now? Because they're trying to get out ahead of it and say, listen, we were honest from the beginning. No, you're honest at the very end. Typical Democrats. You're about to run for president, and then you put forth an absolute joke of a bill and call it a border security bill. Biden didn't give two craps about the border being completely and totally open for over 3 years. And then right before he runs for re-election, he puts forward a border security bill in cooperation with cuckboy James Lankford. There's always some cuckboy Republican that'll collaborate and cooperate with Democrats moving for politically expeditious purposes, of course. All right, let's go to the next one. Fox News tweet. New Jersey leader, I don't usually cover these things, but I had to. I mean, it's got to be, I'm like, usually drones, come on. Drones, UFOs, listen, I really don't care. I mean, if you do what you want. I have no problem with it. You want to believe UFOs coming from Mars, you know, Mars or some, you know, some aliens or whatever. I'm not paying any attention to that at all, just so you know. For me, what about all that footage, though? I believe it's hypersonic technology from China. Or from us. And you got pilots out there running it, seeing objects that are able to do unbelievable things. Well, we didn't think there until we're up there flying around our P-51 Mustangs, which is my favorite plane from World War II. We're flying around at the very tip of the iceberg of technology, is P-51. Until we all saw a jet fly by that the Nazis created. We're like, where did that come from? Yeah, that's the same thing we're seeing now. Are those our hypersonic objects flying through the air? Are they China's? Are they Russia's? Are they Iran's? I don't know. Are they Israel's? I have no idea. But that's what I said. But now, so lo and behold, here we have drones, which are not hypersonic, but drones are flying all over a specific area of New Jersey. Even Fox News has to report on it. And they had a congressional hearing about it. So I had to cover it. New Jersey leader calls for a limited state of emergency. State of emergency. As drone mystery deepens. Go to the next one for me, Creighton. So here's some testimony about it. Red Panda Koala video. One of his officers saw it. Listen to this. A local police chief and his officer saw, I guess it was just one, it was one of his officers saw, 50 drones come out of the ocean. I don't think he means like coming out of the water, but coming from the ocean. 50 of them. And one of their 47-foot lifeboats was followed by between 12 and 30 of these drones. Kind of weird, isn't it? Well, this is from the halls of Congress. Play for me, Creighton.
And I'm very concerned that we're missing something here. I've raised the issue, as has my colleagues, Maliotakis and others, in New Jersey and New York about these drone sightings. So last night, I was on the beach in Island State Park in Ocean County with the sheriff. He has been working it every single night. He's got his own tethered drones chronicling. One of his officers two nights ago saw 50 drones come in off the ocean right there. So we thought maybe they'll replicate it. They didn't, but we thought it was a possibility. Then last night we had a number of other people there, including a commanding officer from the Coast Guard, who said that one of their 47-foot motor lifeboats was followed by between 12 and 30 of these drones as they went through the water, followed right behind them. You know, and I said, what's the rules of engagement? I mean, you do it if you're fighting against a narco trafficker or something. And they said, we don't know. We don't have any. So I did reach out to the commanding officer at the Joint Base, which is also in my district, and talked to him, had a very good conversation, Colonel Anthony Smith, Joint Base Fort Dix McGuire, the 87th Air Wing, Air Base Wing today. And I said, I know you have the capability, you've put out press releases, to identify and bring down drones. Why can't you deploy them, at least to the ocean? Bring one of these down, find out who's doing it. They have the capability. He said, well, we don't have the authority, only within the parameters of our base. Well, there's a national interest here. Our jets fly over the ocean all the time for training, so that perimeter is larger. So I did write Secretary Lloyd Austin asking that capability that may be sitting in a closet somewhere. I know they use it all the time. But bring it out. And I'm not saying you got to share it with the sheriffs. It'd be nice. Just do it yourself. The interest of the American public. So I would ask if you would echo that request. I mean, DOD's got the capability, and maybe Homeland Security does as well. When we had a Zoom meeting with Secretary Mayorkas, our governor put it together, and I appreciated that. But I asked them, why can't we just track where they go to?
So here we have Biden with, like roughly 40 days to go. And here we have another odd occurrence where we had the Chinese balloons flying over the United States, one of which for 8 days they did nothing about, while they took photographs of our nuclear installations and transmitted them automatically back to Beijing. And nobody did anything about it at all for 8 days, which again is a Biden first. I've been alive for 56 years. I have never seen a balloon traverse the United States of America from a foreign country taking pictures of our high-value military installations, i.e. nuclear silos, and the military do nothing about it. Another Biden first, because Biden is being extorted out of Beijing. Biden is being extorted out of Kiev. Biden is being extorted out of London, i.e. the globalist cabal, the globalist bourgeois, leftist elitist, the World Economic Forum, extorting Joe Biden. So he won't take action. And lo and behold, something is happening here. Listen, 50 drones don't appear from the ocean, where you're standing there on the shoreline of the ocean, and then woof, 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 a bunch of drones fly. But that's not a bunch of teenagers with their drones they bought at Walmart. That's not them. And some of these have been recorded to be the size of a car flying around. And he'd be like, well, I'd blow it off if it was five people. But it's not five people. And now it's that right there was a congressional hearing. That was the cops reporting it. Cops are not going to report insane things. Believe me, I know. I was one for 25 years. It's also CBS News is reporting it. Listen to this one. Here is a Guy Fawkes video. And this is a family out filming drones. Play for me.
It's a big one. It's low.
It's huge. What?
All right, Craig, let's hop right to the next one. CBS News. Now, here's CBS News reporting on it. CBS News, quote, we saw one right above us that was the size of our car. Play it for me.
Went outside to prove my point, and this is over my house right now. What is that?
This is a video of the Morris County drones with characteristic triangle lights on the back. Or underneath.
My wife and I were driving. We saw one right up above us that was the size of our car. I mean, it's crazy.
They're very fast. They dart around, but no one can figure out, like, why are they here? The rumors have gone from Russian spies to people stalking Trump to aliens, so nobody really knows what's going on, but it's definitely concerning.
It's suspicious to me, obviously. It's creepy.
But don't worry, the FBI is all over it. The FBI is all over it. The people who never actually solve crimes, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Instigation, the Federal Bureau of Instigating Crimes, they are all over it. So here they are at the congressional hearing. Breaking 9/11 video, titled Incompetent. Dozens of car-sized drones and UFOs have been circling around New Jersey. Here's what the FBI had to say about it. Play for me.
What is going on in New Jersey?
So, sir, the FBI and our Newark field office, along with the state and local partners there, the Bureau is actively investigating the situation you mentioned, just the unexplained sighting of drone activity over that part of New Jersey, including proximity to sensitive sites and areas of concern. So the... we do not attribute that to an individual or a group yet. We're investigating, but I don't have an answer of who's responsible for that, of one or more people that are responsible for those drone flights. But we're actively investigating. What the Bureau has done to aid our state and local partners is what we generally do, enlist the help of the interagency, enlist the help of the public. There's a tip line there, that 1-800-CALL-FBI, tips.fbi, for information from the public that could help us resolve this. It is concerning.
Is the public at risk? Is public safety at risk? Are we concerned that there are nefarious intentions that could cause either national security or a public safety incident that would put Americans at risk?
There's nothing that is known that would lead me to say that, but we just don't know, and that's the concerning part.
All right, so the FBI is just all over this. Now, imagine if that was a MAGA mom, she'd already be in prison and charged. And that was somebody standing out in front of an abortion clinic, falsely in violation of the FACE Act, you'd already be in prison. If it was a J6 offender, they'd already be hunted down and in prison right now. But you have drones flying all around the place. Now, here's the thing. What do we have a military for? What's the military doing? Do we not have drones that can take down drones? What are we doing here? And he said, quote, they're flying over sensitive sites and areas of concern. But don't worry, we're actively investigating. So you have drones. Again, we have balloons flying over our nuclear weapons silos and taking pictures and transmitting them back to Beijing. And now we have drones that are coming in the tens from the ocean. 50 observed by a police officer. 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 50 flying in from the dark ocean. And the FBI has no answers at all. Why doesn't the FBI just go out there and stand on the shore with a couple shotguns and shoot a couple of them down? Whatever it takes. But I'm like, it's amazing how when these guys are not motivated, politically motivated, they do absolutely nothing. And they say it's an active investigation. I mean, just like J6 is an active investigation, so they can't answer any questions. 4 years later, they can't answer any questions. Well, 3 years later, can't answer any questions. Amazing, isn't it? Truly is. Truly amazing. All right, let's move on to the next thing. Let's get to actually the title of the podcast tonight at 9:59 and 5 seconds, or 10 o'clock and 5 seconds. All right, let's get to the UHC situation, UnitedHealthcare situation. You got the arrest or the detainment. He is the arrest. He has been charged with unlawful possession of a firearm. Luigi Mangione, just very weird again. Very weird connections with all kinds of people. Well, not all kinds of people. Actually, one specific person, Nancy Pelosi. Where we find out now that the former CEO of UHC was connected with Nancy Pelosi, and the probable shooter was also connected to Nancy Pelosi. Vince Langman video, I agree with Dan Bongino. Play it for me.
Folks, there's something not right about this case. There's something not right about every case, so I don't want to be overly dramatic, having done criminal investigative work for most of my young adult life. But it's almost as if the guy took pains not to get caught, only to take pains later to get caught. Is it some kind of mental breakdown issue? I don't know. But the suspect in the case to use a 3D printed firearm, a suppressor, and then to exit the crime scene and then be discovered with the fake ID you used to check into a hostel along with the firearm and the suppressor, it doesn't make any sense.
It is very odd. And just bouncing off of what Bongino just said there, it's really odd that you go through these painstaking measures to secrete your face, to make sure that nobody could identify you, to make sure that you secrete your identity. You're fully masked at the shooting, wearing a backpack. They must have somehow, because it was almost immediately known that he had left the city of New York. I don't think the state of New York, but the city of New York, they knew that he had left. But you went through these painstaking efforts to cover up for, to make sure that nobody, to disguise yourself, to secrete your image, everything else. And then you're caught at a McDonald's. And again, with like Bongino said, if you like committed a crime and you wanted to get away with it, first of all, you wouldn't leave the body there. Now, that maybe you're like, well, there's nothing you can do about that, but why would you have the murder weapon on you? And why would you have the fake ID / driver's license on you that you used to check into the hotel you stayed at in New York if you didn't want to get caught? This is a guy who's crying out to get caught. And why are you sitting in a McDonald's? And how in the world, because he was, and why are you sitting in a McDonald's masked? Like, well, people are masked. Yeah, I know, but in a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, basically fully masked up to your eyeballs. You know how he was identified by the McDonald's employee? It's because the images that law enforcement had put out of him was a fully masked individual. And then he dresses up in that same costume and sits in public in it. So somebody goes, that looks exactly, if he wasn't wearing a mask at all, nobody could have identified him. He looked the same from here up to the McDonald's employee who ended up calling local law enforcement or the FBI. That's how he actually got caught. And he gets caught with the weapon on him, the silencer on him, the fake ID he used to check into the New York hotel that he stayed at the night before he executed Brian Thompson, and his manifesto on him. How, I mean, is this really real? Do these people ever end up in prison? You believe, like me, that Timothy McVeigh, I don't even believe he's dead. I think they just transport him off to somewhere else. You look at that whole story. I don't have time to get into that right now. Someday we'll do a full deal on it. All right, let's go to the next one, whatever my next one is. Let's go. Alex Jones video. Pelosi ties to both ends. Play for me.
The suspect in healthcare killing charged with murder. He's the heir to a fortune created by his grandparents, who were big with the Pelosis and ongoing. Comes from a powerful Maryland family centered on the late patriarch, a first-generation American who built a real estate empire in the state, including country clubs and the media. Billionaires.
All right, so there you go. So now we know that just, you're going to see this stuff in a second. As a matter of fact, let's put the next one up for me, because here it is. I'll just read it to you. Coast Guy tweet, regarding the shooting of the CEO of the United Healthcare, again, Brian Thompson, things have interesting twists. And if you believe mainstream media now, there's no hope for you. Following a massive data breach at United Healthcare, Palo Alto Networks was awarded the contract. You're like, Tommy went over this last night. I know. Awarded the contract for security at United Healthcare. As if there was an intentional security data breach. And then here was Palo Alto, who was immediately hired. The CEO was allegedly due to testify against Nancy Pelosi for insider trading because Nancy Pelosi, on the day of the security breach, bought $4 million worth of Palo Alto stock, who was then hired by United Healthcare in a multi-$100 million contract, I assume. I don't know the numbers. But yeah, the data breach, so obviously they have a security problem. Palo Alto's there to save the day, so then United Healthcare hires Palo Alto. The day of the security breach, though, right before Palo Alto is hired, Nancy Pelosi buys $4 million worth of their stock, of which she later cashed in for an $11 million profit. And she bought it the day of the security breach, and then United Healthcare then hired Palo Alto to secure their data. Weird. And he was, it sounded like he was going to be testifying against Nancy Pelosi, and he ends up dead. So she has a connection to the victim and the suspect because the Mangione family and the Pelosis have close ties. Weird how that works, isn't it? It's almost as if she's like, you know what? I'm about to be investigated, and they've got a crazy son that I know. Maybe I can find a way to instigate him to commit a murder to cover up for my prior offenses. Am I saying that's what happened? No, it's just kind of weird, isn't it? That, again, out of the latest estimates from the experts are that we have about 350 million people living in this country, which I don't believe. I believe we have over 400 million. But out of 350 million people in the United States of America, 8 billion globally, Nancy Pelosi knows both shooter and victim intimately. What are the odds of that? That the former Speaker of the House knows them both. If you Google who owns shares in Palo Alto Networks, while Nancy Pelosi's amount of shares may be important in relation to this case, some other major shareholders, Aaron, can you guess who they are? Make things potentially more interesting. Here's the top two. Go to the next one for me. There we go. People also might ask, who is the largest shareholder? So the people who are making all the money off of the Ukraine war are the same people who own Palo Alto, who took over for security for United Healthcare, making Nancy Pelosi $11 million. And all Nancy Pelosi does for her entire political career is send money into the coffers of Vanguard and BlackRock. BlackRock's the number one shareholder in Vanguard, and Vanguard is the largest shareholder in BlackRock. Who is the largest shareholder of Palo Alto Networks? Here they are, Vanguard, BlackRock, and Eaton Vance Management. Just so you know, it's nothing weird to see here. And of course, now the manifesto has been from Luigi Mangione, has now been released. And you're like, it must be, the reason why it was released is because it's absolutely nothing. That's why it was released. If it was in any way detrimental to the Democratic Party, it never would be released until Trump takes office. It's just, it's very simple. It says to the feds, here's his manifesto. That's the whole thing right here. That's it. That's the whole manifesto. To the feds, this is what he, again, and I don't mean to be redundant, but I can't help it. He gets seen at a McDonald's because he made sure that he dressed exactly like his suspect photos, his wanted photos. Dressed, make sure he dressed just like it. He went in there without a mask on. Nobody could have ever known who he was. Dressed just like it. So he gets identified, almost like it's on purpose. He goes to a public place and sits down in costume at a McDonald's. On his person, he has the firearm that was, Aaron, what do you call it, 3D printers?
Yeah, 3D
printed. 3D printed gun.
Yep.
On him. The 3D printed silencer, or what? Maybe it wasn't 3D printed silencer, but the silencer with him. His fake ID that he used to check in the NYC hotel on him. And his manifesto on him. And $8,000 worth of cash on him. It says, as if, I mean, who's stupid enough to get caught? And by the way, what are you doing eating at McDonald's when you got $8,000 in your pocket? You got $8,000 in your pocket? You could secrete yourself for, I don't know, months with that. Nobody would ever be able to find you for months. Here's his manifesto. To the feds, I'll keep this short. Remember, this is from Luigi Mangione. Because I do respect what you do for our country. To save you a lengthy investigation, I state plain, this is what he was caught with. This is akin to making sure that you punch yourself in the balls every day of your life. That's what it is. I mean, that's what he did. He brings the manifesto with him, talking to the feds and confessing to the crime. I state plainly that I wasn't working with anyone. This was fairly trivial. Some elementary social engineering, basic CAD, a lot of patience, a spiral notebook, if present, has some straggling notes and to-do lists that illuminate the gist of it. My tech is pretty locked down because I work in engineering, so probably not much info there. I do apologize for any strife or traumas, but it had to be done. Frankly, these parasites simply had it coming. This is what he's found on them. Why don't you just turn yourself in? A reminder, the U.S. has the number one most expensive healthcare system in the world, yet we rank roughly 42 in life expectancy. United is the indecipherable something in front of this. United is the blank largest company in the U.S. by market cap, behind only Apple, Google, Walmart. It has grown and grown, but as our life the reality is these indecipherable, another statement, have simply gotten too powerful, and they continue to abuse our country for immense profit because the American public has allowed them to get away with it. Obviously, the problem is more complex, but I do not have space, and frankly, I do not pretend to be the most qualified person to lay out the full argument. You're not qualified to lay out the full argument, but you're qualified to gun down the CEO of UHC. But many have illuminated, and by the way, his alleged motivation was he had a bad back surgery that's caused him a lot of problems. But many have illuminated the corruption and greed. Decades ago, and problems simply remain. It is not an issue of awareness at this point, but clearly power games at play. Evidently, I am first to face it with such brutal honesty. That's his manifesto, just so you know. That's his manifesto. So, that's it. Okay, let's go on. More Nancy Pelosi stuff. Jam video. The story unfolds. Nancy Pelosi was backing UHC CEO Brian Thompson with grants. Play it for me.
$1 billion that was earmarked for clean tech projects at the time. This is an insane amount of money from a startup perspective. If you can even just get 1/10 of 1/10 of 1/10, you're in great shape. And we had terrific connections. So we've had people like Nancy Pelosi, TJ Gloth, their former deputy secretary of the DOE, working for us in terms of figuring out how to get a grant. We put together.
I can't believe it's already 10:13. So let me just say this once again. Here we go. And Aaron, make sure this next one, it doesn't matter now. We're off of CTN. Yeah. But anyway. Let's go through Nancy Pelosi's connection once again. So you have security breach at UHC, where I can't remember how many millions of files were corrupted. So Palo, that day of the security breach, Nancy Pelosi buys stock in Palo Alto Securities, which is hired by UNC, the next day to secure their data. She puts in $4 million. She makes $11 million on that. At the same time, she's granting money to the CEO, Thompson, of UHC. And at the same time, she and her husband, Paul, are deeply, intimately connected with the Mangione family, i.e. Luigi Mangione, who is the killer. So she's funding the victim. She's making money off of the security breach. And she's friends with the family of the shooter. What are the odds of that? I know I played this one last night, but I got to play it one more time. Ian Miles Chong video. That's a mighty fine coincidence. Play it for me.
Okay, I'm not exactly a conspiracy theorist kind of guy, but I couldn't really leave this one alone. So there is a connection between Nancy Pelosi and Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare. So hear me out. On September 21, 2024, there was a cyber breach at United Healthcare. Over 100 million data users were affected, healthcare workers and individuals. On that day, Nancy Pelosi purchased $4 million in a cybersecurity company called Palo Alto Networks. It is a specialist in cybersecurity. On the day of the announcement of the breach, she made that purchase. That company netted her $11.9 million. This was going to be up for investigation. Now, the person who was going to be investigated by the DOJ and was going to be potentially questioned about this cannot be questioned. Do with that as you will.
Well, that was already covered, but I just wanted to hear it in another very succinct way. But anyway, and I've got J6 stuff. Man, I'm not going to get into it, but for tomorrow night, Real Robert. And here it is, the release transcribed interviews. The J6 Committee, Benny Thompson, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, they believe they've deleted all the data, but they haven't. The release transcribed interviews, the J6 cover-up committee willfully hid from the public view, confirms beyond a shadow of a doubt the treasonous witch Nancy Pelosi orchestrated a criminal conspiracy to frame Donald Trump. Whole bunch of stuff. The missing driver interview testimony. The missing Ornato, Deputy Chief of Staff Anthony Ornato's missing testimony. It's now we have it. The missing Chairman, Joint Chiefs of Staff Mark White Rage Milley's testimony. We now have that. Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony. Got that. We'll get it. We'll hit that hard tomorrow night because it's a giant, another giant frame job from Nancy Pelosi, Muriel Bowser, Mitch McConnell, White Rage Milley, all the rest of them. But anyway. All right, that's good. 10:16. If I started the J6 stuff, we'd be here till 10:45. Oh, that's probably thinking conservatively. All right, Rumble Rants, Jana Jones, $10. Gucci Buckeye, $10. Matriarch of the Rumble Rant, Tammy L. Margritter, $10. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. 1,066 people watching right now. Love each and every one of you. Join us tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. I'll be in the chat during the postgame. Got to stick for the postgame, I'm telling you. Postgames are awesome. There's so much material out there. Stick around for the postgame. I'm done screaming at you. Stick around during the postgame. I'll be in the chat during the postgame. Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, we are back. Love you all. God bless you. See you then.
2 Corinthians 8:9. He became poverty so that you could become rich. And then Christians think that it's an attribute to be poor. That's like saying that it's an attribute to become sin because he became sin. Well, you just want to feed the world. How are you going to feed the world when you're broke? Wouldn't you rather, instead of signing up for a dollar a day to save this or that, wouldn't you rather save an entire village by giving them $5 million? Well, we have all of that. The cattle upon 1,000 hills and all wealth is his. Romans chapter 8:16-17. Join heirs with him. Therefore, what does heir mean? Inheritance. yours. And it's not yours in heaven. It's yours now. Nobody ever believes it because they've been ingrained into believing that poverty is a Christian attribute. It is not. If you don't want it, give it away and let God make you a continuous conduit of cash.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.